you thinking about buying or selling a house, or just want to know what might be going on with one of your biggest investments? Then come hang out with us for a little while. Hi, I'm Kirk Duckwall, and welcome to the Twin Cities Real Estate Show. We are sponsored by Bricks Real Estate Network Title, Eric Bloomstrand and Chad Preeby with Bell Bank Mortgage, James Tolson with Country Financial, Structure Tech Home Inspections, Cregan's Construction, and Gray Duck Staging and Design. Make sure you check us out as well at TwinCitiesRealEstateShow.com. There you can find all the latest and greatest home searching and researching tools, along with all of our great free publications, The Smart Home Buyer, The Smart Seller, and The Bricks Report, as well as all of our past shows and our market updates, with which, especially, you know, if you're a buyer or a seller out there, you know, paying attention to that and knowing where that market meter is when timing that sale could put tens of thousands of dollars extra in your pocket or save you tens of thousands of dollars. So today we're going to be talking about April Bryan with Network Title. Thank you for coming in today.
Yeah,
we're going to be discussing what happens behind the scenes. Right?
The good stuff.
And you guys do more behind the scenes, really, than I do in a real estate transaction. You know, I'm forward facing a lot of the times. I know we were actually talking about that, you know, a lot of times, with the lending side of it, that, you know, you might not even meet with the buyer until that closing time, you know, as far as actually physically seeing them, face to face versus just Zoom and phone calls and emails.
Right. Well, especially with COVID. I mean, ever since COVID-19, it's been over a year since I've actually physically sat down with a buyer, which, kills me because I'm a people person, But it's just a new reality for us.
And, I haven't been going to closings now for, over a year. And I know it's definitely something I'm excited to get back to.
Yeah.
But there's definitely been changes in that. Title companies and it was kind of, keep as many people away as possible.
Yeah. So we reduced the number of people in the closing room a lot. And so it's starting to get a little bit more normal, but it's also, we had some chaos in the beginning and now things are a lot more smooth than they even were before COVID. So buyers tend to show up to closing saying, wow, that was actually way quicker than we thought it was going to be. So
awesome.
They're used to or expecting a 1 hour closing and it's about 15 to 20 minutes.
I think you mentioned that's something that's probably not going to really change.
Yeah, no, I think we'll keep buyers and sellers separate at closing just for the smoothness. Sellers are prepped in advance. They don't have to deal with anything on closing day other than making sure they're out of the house. And
What I thought was really cool that you mentioned is it's another check and balance point, right? That it's another chance to review documents. And so then when closing day actually hits, the likelihood of something coming up is reduced.
Yeah,
even
sellers
more.
Have already signed all of their documents. So if there were any issues that were going to come up at that signing, they're coming up days in advance versus at the closing table. Whereas before we would have sellers who would come into a closing and maybe then say, oh, well, my husband did die. And we're like, we didn't know you were ever married, you know? Yeah. I mean, so those things come up. And if we're sitting at a closing table, finding that out then doesn't give us time to deal with it. So then we end up delaying the closing a little bit and having to work those things out. But if they come up when the seller's signing, it's a lot easier to deal with it. We've got a few days to work out the kinks and get everything resolved before a buyer sits down at the closing table. So we found that this is actually smoothing things out on all ends of the transaction, doing it the way it's been done for COVID.
Right. Yeah, I think we're going to see changes that have come from this that are probably never going to change.
You know,
doing buyer meetings over Zoom or sometimes even CMA market analysis over Zoom can be really beneficial by being able to do that direct screen sharing and seeing the data, seeing the information, seeing the searches.
Yes, and they can see what you see versus just presenting them with, here's what my opinion is. They can see that face-to-face, on the screen. They can look at the screen you're looking at. I know Chad also mentioned, hybrid closings, and that's another thing that buyers at the closing table have reduced their time on because they're signing documents in advance.
Right.
We get to closing and all we have are the documents that require a notary, and so I'm there to explain those to you and answer any questions that you
have. So you're telling me that it's not a stack of paperwork that's that thick anymore?
Not anymore. That was actually one of the biggest things through this COVID-19 struggle. And hats off, to the title companies and and all the people involved in the transaction, because we had to make these decisions overnight.
It was very quick.
You know, we had multiple closings lined up, and also we're being told by the CDC, which obviously was for a reason, that we couldn't meet face-to-face for closings, and we couldn't, you know, and I tell you what, how stressful is that, right? I mean, that's your bread and butter. So, but, you know, the hybrid closing as a buyer or seller, you're viewing those documents before you get to the closing table. Talk about an opportunity to review everything and go over that with your loan officer or realtor if you have any questions prior to getting there. So all you can do is focus on signing the documents.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Well, so kind of going to the you know, this is what's put us in the position of where we are today, but how does a transaction, you know, kind of break down and what happens, you know, whether a buyer or seller, you know, an offer is made on a property. Mm-hmm. Buyer goes out, looks at a bunch of homes, you know, and decides on one. You know, from the seller's side, you have a bunch of showings. A buyer makes an offer on your house. Well, mm-hmm. what happens from there? Well, as an agent, this is where I'm passing it off, right? And it's basically going to the loan officer, going to the title company. And you put it really in a good phrase as far as, you know, what does the title company do? And you were saying it's kind of like...
So, yeah, I had somebody say, you're kind of like the general contractor of the transaction. And so it kind of threw me for a loop at first, but when he explained it, it makes complete sense. So we are the one who takes all of the pieces of the puzzle and we say, okay, we need this, we need this, we need this, and we need this. And so we're pulling all those pieces from everybody. And then we take those pieces and we make it into a transaction that gets you to a closing table to purchase or sell your home. So Kirk's doing all the upfront negotiating. He's getting the contracts done. He's getting those contracts to the appropriate parties, whether it's Chad or if it's just us because we're representing the seller. And then we take those pieces and we work with the other title company because buyers and sellers typically are represented by their own title company. Sometimes we do both, but when we're represented by each other individually, then I'll work with the buyer's title company or the seller's title company. I'll work with Kirk. I'll work with the buyers, I'll work with the sellers, and get all those pieces that I need to get them to a closing table with the appropriate documents. So.
Yeah, and I think a lot of buyers or sellers, I mean, I can tell you this, as a real estate agent, having a title company that is acting as that general contractor, that is acting as that glue that holds the transaction together, is a lot better than having me act as the general contractor. Mm-hmm. And there's definitely title companies that kind of push more work back onto the agent.
Yeah.
But my relationship, I don't have a relationship maybe with that other title company, but you guys know the different title companies. You know these people. You're working with them. You have these relationships even with these other agents, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, you're working with hundreds or thousands of files every year where, you know, I might be working with 75, right? And so your exposure to the marketplace allows you to have that position and orchestrate, which makes everything go smoother. It's nice to know, I've dealt with title companies where it's a week out from closing and I don't even know what time the closing is and where it is. And I've had my clients, my sellers or buyers in that same position. That's very frustrating. Mm-hmm. Where the communication that a good title company has. I know you were kind of talking about how smooth they make the process for you guys too.
Yeah. And, you know, for me as a loan officer, you know, you doing your realtor role and then you taking care of us. I look at the title company as kind of the backbone of the transaction after it leaves your hands.
Right.
Obviously on the mortgage side, we have our underwriting process that we go through, but behind the scenes, you're doing you're cleaning up the title with any issues if there are any. You're communicating with both sides on coordinating that closing date to accommodate everybody, right? We want to make sure everybody's happy.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, as a loan officer, when I can trust my preferred partner to do that and allow me to do what I do best, it makes your day so much easier. And it takes away the stress from the consumer, right?
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, that goes both ways because we definitely appreciate the relationships that we have with our clients. Our buyers and sellers, I feel like, get better service with the ones that we work with regularly because we have a rhythm going. We know what each other expects from each other. We know what we need to do. Things kind of just go with the flow.
Yeah.
Whereas if every title company has that relationship with their agents and their loan officers, and I think that's important to maintain.
Right.
Absolutely.
So, you know, as far as we're talking about the, you know, the orchestrating, you know, keeping the communication going. What is it the title company, though, once you get a file, you're actually doing? Now, we only got a couple minutes left in this segment, but, you know, as kind of a quick rundown.
As a quick rundown, you give me a file. If it's a seller file, I'm going to start digging into that seller side and finding out what the status of the property is. I'm going to ask you for information about your mortgages. I'm going to ask you for information about any judgments, tax liens, bankruptcies that you've had during the ownership of the property. I'm going to ask you if anybody passed away on the property. I'm going to ask you if you ever had a contract for a deed. I'm going to ask you a lot of questions on a form that is going to tell me where I need to start. On a buy side, I'm going to get a title order from the lender. The lender usually will send that to us once they've gone through their initial kind of underwriting of the its inspection's done, you're ready. And then we'll start our title search. And so that's the buyer side is preparing the title search and determining the status of the property. We determine whether or not there's any mortgages to be paid off, any title issues to clear, anything that we need to work on before that closing date.
I know we're going to be talking a little bit more about some of those things that can come up. But yeah, I mean, I think the big thing a lot of people just don't have a grasp on is how many people are involved in a real estate transaction, right? And how important that communication is. I mean, I think I've counted it out and it's somewhere around 30-ish people when you break it down, right? Into between the processors, the closers,
and the lenders,
buyer and seller, and then to break that all the way down. You know, I have my team, right? And then you have your team, and then you have the whole teams of the seller side, right? Or the buyer side, whatever, whichever you're working.
Whichever other side it is. They have their own team as well.
There's a lot of people to keep things moving smooth. So we're going to take a quick break here. Stay with us. We'll get into some real fun, interesting things that can come up in your title work.
Don't fall for the billboards or the clickbait. There is no such thing as today's rate. Mortgages and mortgage rates are individual to you. Chad Preby and Eric Bloomstrand with Bell Bank Mortgage are here to show you the formula to get your best rate. Once you know this formula, you can mortgage shop with confidence. Find us online at chadpreby.com. That is chadpreby.com. NMLS 1462493, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Becca, owner of Grey Duck Staging. With today's home buyers beginning their journey exclusively online, the look and feel of your home matters more than ever. Whether it's a simple in-home consultation, a refresh using your current furniture, or a whole home staging, our goal is always the same: showing your home in the best light and helping you achieve the highest sales price possible. To learn more, visit us at greyduckstaging.com or check us out on Instagram at Grey Duck Staging.
Hi, I'm Kurt Duckwall with Bricks Real Estate and the Twin Cities Real Estate Show. Buying or selling a home is one of the biggest financial transactions people make. Before you make your next move, download our free Smart Home Buyer or Smart Seller guides to give you the edge in our real estate market. From deal hunting to knowing the right repairs for maximizing value, these free guides have it all. Check them out and more at BricksTwinCities.com under publications.
My name is James Tobson with Country Financial. Anyone can sell you insurance, however, is it going to be the insurance you need? When life pops up with its surprises, you want the right coverage. When it comes time to find or renew your policy, give me a call. I would love to review your existing policy and show you what I can do for you. You can email me at james.tobson@countryfinancial.com or give me a call at 651-365-3408.
Hi, I'm Ruben with Structure Tech Home Inspections. Everyone knows you should have a home inspection before you buy a home, but we've heard of home buyers being encouraged to skip the home inspection in this crazy market to make their purchase offer more attractive. Now they're facing tens of thousands of dollars in unexpected repairs. I'm telling you now, don't skip the home inspection. Here at Structure Tech, we can get your home inspected quickly, and we offer a full line of services. Visit us online at structuretech.com to learn more.
Not every title company is the same. There are many people involved with each real estate transaction, and all of them need to be in the loop or a closing may get delayed. This is why the people at Network Title strive to provide swift scheduling and communication between the buyers, sellers, agents, and lenders. We know moving can be stressful, however, your closing does not need to be. Check us out online at network-title.com.
Welcome back to the Twin Cities Real Estate Show. If you have any questions for us, you can reach out to us, 651-303-0019. Again, 651-303-0019. I've got that number right down on the bottom of the screen. As well as make sure you check out TwinCitiesRealEstateShow.com. Again, that's TwinCitiesRealEstateShow.com. All the latest and greatest home searching and researching tools and our great publications. Today in studio with me, April Bryan, Network Title. Thank you for coming in. You guys have been a great, great sponsor of the show throughout the years. But, you know, that came from a great working relationship that it is so important. I mentioned this in the last segment, but it's so important to have a good team that you're working with to keep things moving smoothly. Mm-hmm. Because there are bumps in the road that come up in real estate transactions, but the key is to make sure that we get through those hurdles, and we're going to talk about some of them in just a second. I heard you talking to Chad before the show about two ways to clear a title, and I have never actually heard about this. I know that there was two different separate ways that title could be cleared, but basically clearing the title is making sure that it's clean and can be passed along, right? Mm-hmm. Is the best way to put it.
And that, yeah, so there's, as title companies, we work together closely all the time throughout a transaction. I'm working with a buyer's title company, a seller's title company, whoever's on the other side, but if you buy a property and you have a title issue, sometimes we clear those title issues with what's called a letter of indemnity. And so that indemnity is saying, I'm agreeing to insure you that it's not going to come up. It's not really clearing the title per se, but it's allowing us to insure the property.
Is this something that you're insuring or a title insurance company is insuring?
So if you buy the property and there's a title issue, you're going to now sell it. As the new title company involved, I'm going to go back to your title company and I'm going to say this is a title issue from when you closed it. Then they would then issue me a letter of indemnity saying, I'm going to give you this indemnity stating that you can move forward with your transaction. And if you have a claim on it for any reason, we'll cover it.
Okay.
So we're saying it's dealt with. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of it if it becomes an issue later.
That actually happened to my wife and I.
That'll happen sometimes. Most of the time we do it like that, number one, if it's a quick closing. So if you're talking, we just got this, it's closing in a week, we don't have time to get a satisfaction, we'll deal with it that way because that allows us to get you to the closing table without delaying your closing.
Right.
We also do it, for example, if there's a mortgage company that's out of business, we can't track down who the new owner is or who the new lender is who took over those mortgages. Sometimes you have a mortgage company, the mortgage is old, it's been taken over by this company, and this company, and now that bulk of mortgages is now owned by Wells Fargo, per se.
Yep.
Trying to get a satisfaction from Wells Fargo for a mortgage that's 25 years old that they acquired through multiple chains of transfer is going to be extremely difficult. And
right.
So the easiest way to clear that is by doing a letter of indemnity. So that's just saying we agree to take on that title issue. And so I'm insuring you, but I'm being indemnified by somebody else saying they're taking on the responsibility of it, but I'm insuring you.
And you were saying that you don't prefer to do it that way.
We prefer not to deal with it that way just because when our buyer goes to sell, it could become an issue again. We most likely will deal with it the same manner and issue another LOI to allow it to keep moving forward if it was that type of scenario where it's almost impossible to get a clear title. If it is something that can't be cleared with a letter of indemnity or preferably, we prefer to get SATs. We prefer to clear any mortgages with satisfactions, clear anything that we can. But some items do require a letter of undertaking or undertaking to actually complete that clearing of that title. And so that's undertaking is basically taking action. Somebody is saying, I'm going to clear this. I'm going to get that SAT. I'm going to get a new deed. I'm going to get probate. I'm going to get whatever is missing on that title. And they're going to clear it using action and getting it done. Versus an indemnity is saying, we're taking on the responsibility. You can move forward.
Now, and somebody who's maybe been experienced with real estate transactions understands the importance of what a title company does. But I think a lot of people don't realize, you know, we talked about being that glue, being that contractor. But what you're really doing is you are making sure that the that person who's buying that multi-hundred thousand or selling that multi-hundred thousand dollars worth of property typically is doesn't have somebody else holding rights to it or or having issues with it. And can you explain real quick what could happen if a title wasn't cleared correctly?
So these are some of our nightmare stories.
Oh boy.
You know, you've got, I had a buyer recently ask me, well, why would I need an owner's policy? If the lender's getting a title insurance policy, why do I need to pay for an owner's policy? Your lender's policy is protecting your lender only. First of all, it does not protect you as the buyer in any way. Your lender's policy becomes an owner's policy if your lender forecloses, and that's it. So it is not protecting you. If you go to sell your property, we actually have a pamphlet too that I'd be happy to share with you guys if you have customers who want to see it, but it's called 48 Ways to Lose Your Property. And it's 48, I mean, we can't predict forgery. If I'm doing a title search, I don't know that that last deed of record was forged.
Right.
So if you go to buy the property and 2 years from now you have somebody come back and say, I own this property, I never deeded it, that was a forged deed. Your owner's policy is going to pay off your house and give you your money back, essentially. And they're going to, and our underwriter is going to take that on and fight that in whatever way that they can. But you are going to, you're not going to have to deal with it. Your owner's policy deals with it. You have satisfaction of mortgages is our most common item that we clear with owner's policies. When you buy your house, we may be paying off your seller's mortgage. We rely on banks to satisfy those mortgages on the property, but oftentimes they don't do it properly. They may not do it at all. So then we go in and we issue a certificate of release to satisfy it if we can. If it's an individual owned mortgage, we can't issue a certificate of release. So then we need to clear it by getting a satisfaction from the appropriate party. But without an owner's policy, we have no obligation to clear the title after the fact.
Right.
So if you have an owner's policy, it's going to protect you from anything that happens if you refinance or sell your house and you have any title issue of any kind.
What could happen on a seller's side? Are there any?
We had one recently where the trust documents were not recorded with the closing. And so there was a trustee's deed and it wasn't supported with the proper trust documents. So the seller then had an owner's policy. We had to go back to the prior title company and have them fix it. And they had to go and they had to get the trustees to sign the documents. They had to deal with it because the seller had an owner's policy. And that takes time. I mean, so they have to go in, they have to track down the trustees, and they have to have them sign the correct documents. We have some where we've had to hire attorneys using the owner's policy to clear items.
Yeah, I know we've had that happen a few times.
We have one right now that it's, you know, individual mortgage that was not satisfied, and the mortgage holder has passed away since it was satisfied. So they can no longer sign a satisfaction. So we then hire an attorney. The attorney comes in and the attorney does what they call quiet title action, and they go in and they petition the court to say, this mortgage is cleared. We've served all of the parties who would have any right to this mortgage. Nobody's responded. They've passed away, so of course they can't.
Right.
But nobody's responded to say that there's any money owed on this. And so then the court issues essentially a title action to remove that mortgage from the chain of title. So there's that. I've got one right now that the last two deeds of record had typos in them. And so those, the owner's policy has, this is one where you do a letter of undertaking.
Right.
And so the prior title company has to come back and actually clear that because that requires new deeds. Those deeds need to be re-signed. They need to be re-recorded on the property because the typos were not, you know, a misspelling of the word lot. They were actual descriptive changes to the dynamics of that property. So instead of giving 10 feet, you're giving 40 feet, for example. And so you essentially deeded the wrong property by having a typo like that in a legal description. So
just a minor issue.
It's a big deal.
But you know, then that's the thing is human error happens. And so when you're typing out a deed or you're typing out something, the difference between, you know, a 1 and a 4 on your keyboard can easily be the difference between 10 feet or 40 feet. You know, sure. If you're typing and you're just, you know, doing it and you have a typo, sometimes it's, oh, that's just a typo. But on a deed to a property, we don't know that it's a typo. We don't know that you didn't intend to deed 40 feet of that property.
Well, we just got a couple minutes left. You know, once title is cleared, what can a seller or a buyer expect kind of at closing and the way it's to what's going on these days and how long is it taking? And
Closings now take anywhere on a seller side, it's 10 to 15 minutes. On a buyer's side, it's 15 to 20. So, I mean, you're not talking much different, but a seller is going to sign in advance. We're going to sign them 2 to 3, maybe 4 or 5 days before closing, get all their documents done. Sometimes, most of the time, we try to have a settlement statement available at closing. But if we don't, then we give them a preliminary figure. They sign all the documents, and then we have them sign the final settlement statement electronically.
Is there any special things they should bring as far as like ID and question?
Yeah. ID is pretty much it. Seller side, sometimes we need additional items, but we do communicate that with the sellers in advance. If you need, you know, examples could be a death certificate, a marriage certificate, a divorce decree, your probate documents, some stuff like that we would require you to bring to closing, but we communicate that with each individual transaction. On a buy side, you need to bring your ID.
And make sure it's current, by the way.
Make sure it's current.
Yeah.
And then you need to bring in either a cashier's check or wire your funds in advance.
Yeah, and real quick, you know, you have some great tools on your website. People are curious about the different costs that they can expect in the sale process that they can put in there. And if I remember correctly, it's a
network-title.com.
Yes, network-title.com. Mm-hmm. And as always, you can check out our past shows, TwinCitiesRealEstateShow.com. If you have any questions for us or thinking about buying or selling a house, want to reach out, you can connect directly either through that TwinCitiesRealEstateShow.com or give us a call directly, 651-303-0019. Again, 651-303-0019. Thanks again, April and Chad, for coming in. We'll see everybody next week.